How now, brown cow? How now, brown cow? How now, brown cow?
Aaron, do you need to warm up your vocalizers? No, baby, I'm perfect. All right.
Is this how we're starting?
Sure.
This is how we get brought in.
Hi, dads.
There he is. Hi, dads.
How are you guys?
I'm doing well. Doing
good. It's me, Kate.
Magnificent.
Sean and Aaron are both here. This is Hi Dad's podcast. We talk about cocktails. We're a bunch of 30-something dads spread out across the country. And we like to make cocktails, talk about them, a little bit about the history, do some different riffs on them. And then we just talk about life and particularly being fathers of children and husbands and whatever else. And yeah, that's us. And tonight's episode is the Manhattan.
Yes. So excited. Speaking of being a father, man, I'm feeling okay today, but yesterday I was tired. I was very
tired.
I was so tired. So I go to work, right, and I'm at work all day, and it is our office manager's last day at work, and so we're having this big party at lunch for her, right? Everybody's there. Mary brings the kids and comes there. My coworker who's leaving, her whole family was there, and the party's going great. We had this awesome pork roast. No cocktails. It was in the middle of the work day at our office, so that stunk, but it was a fun day, and I go into the restroom. I'm at the urinal, and as you do at the urinal, you look down, right? I'm wearing two different shoes.
I love where this is going.
Where is this going?
I'm wearing two different shoes.
Oh, God.
Oh, that was it. We missed the punchline. We're just focused on looking down.
We buried the lead there.
So and it's not even like two different style shoes. I have one black, one brown shoe on.
That's awesome. Were they weren't the same style?
No, different colors, different fit, all of it. I didn't notice. I had no clue.
That's awesome.
I went
That's
all awesome. Day.
That's rough, buddy.
Yeah. I have taken the kids to daycare, and one time I did take them, and one of them did not have shoes at all. And I felt like a terrible father. And I was like, I promise you. Oh yeah, I mean they have spare shoes sure. there and stuff. They're great. And they understood. They were like, "Dude, we get it. You just had a second one." And yeah, it happens. We'll find some shoes for this one.
It's rough, man. It's
tired
rough.
Dads is real.
Like when you have an older kid and a baby, like
or two in your case.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just assuming whether you have two or one, it's hard. I know it's definitely hard with twins. It's very tired. Yeah. But,
Yeah, I don't really know nothing about that. I don't know. That's too many.
So, real quick, Aaron, do you want to tell the listeners what, if they want to drink along, what ingredients will they need?
Here's what we're doing tonight. I don't even know if we've said it. It's going to be Samantha, the Manhattan. All right.
I don't know. I think he said Samantha, like Sex in the City.
Does she drink that? I don't know. I don't... Oh my gosh.
This guy's pretending. I've never seen an episode. I know she drinks Manhattan.
Come on. I've Come seen on. Clips.
He's such a Samantha.
He's such a Samantha. That's true.
Everybody knows kid. I'm a Charlotte.
So for the base of this drink, what we're going to do is we're going to need some red or sweet vermouth. We're going to need some rye whiskey. I'd like to put some Angostura bitters and some orange bitters in there. Just a dash of orange bitters. We'll get into that later. And your favorite cherry. We obviously are a fan of Luxardo's, as our listeners are well aware. Fancy glassware optional, but super necessary. So...
Big Bird, the mosquito.
Awesome. Well, cool. Well, I'll hop right into the history. It's not not a super complex history. The drink, it hails back to the 1860s or so. There is some ambiguity. Some people think that it was Lady Randolph Churchill, which was Winston Churchill's mother. They say that she was in New York. She was at this Manhattan club, and she called for a drink that was whiskey and vermouth. And everyone loved it, and that was where the Manhattan cocktail came from. But most people say that that's probably fiction because, A, she was pregnant at that time, and that she was likely either in France or back home in England. Other popular culture.
Did they care back then, like, if you drank when you were pregnant? I mean, I'm not saying, like, heavy drinking, but...
Not according to Peaky Blinders. They just made you switch to beer.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if popular knowledge was that you shouldn't drink while you were pregnant back then, but that she was not in country at that time, though.
Here's my thing about it, though. There's no way that Winston Churchill's mom invented the Manhattan, and then Winston Churchill, wasn't there something about martinis? We got to go back to episode one.
Oh, yeah. He did not care for vermouth or that's the what French, as far as I know.
Maybe he didn't have
probably because his mom drank vermouth.
Yeah, he didn't have a pregnant relationship with the mother.
Could be. Maybe that's
mom
why he
drank,
hated vermouth.
Mom drank too much GD vermouth.
Could be.
I said that. Mother drank too much vermouth.
Worst Churchill I've ever heard.
Nope, we're using that
entire
one.
Life.
That one for sure. That's staying at that end. So,
mother drank too much vermouth, ain't it?
Worse.
It's worse. Definitely worse. So, another account was that it was a cocktail that was invented at a bar on Broadway. Near Houston Street by a man that was simply named Black, a bartender named Black, and that he invented that there. The first time it was actually like published was in the late 1800s, like in the 1880s, in a book called The Modern Bartender's Guide. So that's what I really like, is where people are like, here is an actual reference in literature. So of course, mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of more archaic, you know, where they said 3 or 4 drops of Angostura bitters, plain syrup, and then, you know, like gum syrup and stuff like that they call for. But it is the traditional Manhattan recipe. So it's fairly old, and it's a classic, and it's, I don't know, I think it's something you can order at just about any bar.
Remind me real quick what the difference is between gum syrup and a simple syrup.
I don't know.
I know we've talked about already. It. We've defined
forgot,
it.
Though. We're not students of our own
pod. I think we defined
it
in the Gimlet episode.
Probably.
Maybe,
it was like
yeah.
a distant archaic reference to like sugar gum.
I kind of broke up the flow here. I really thought one of y'all was going to bust in with the answer
you
there.
Really, you really overestimated our ability to recall information.
I definitely did. Cade, I'm really disappointed in you because you have like the most photographic memory of the group.
Yeah, I'm out of film today, bub.
His brain is all opaque today.
But I can tell you, I've had a good Friday.
Oh! Easter today. Is in 2 days. That's correct. You probably won't hear this on recording day, but we're recording 2 days before Easter. You do the calendar math.
Figure it out.
And Cade's joke.
Figure it out. So, who's going to walk someone through the first Manhattan?
I can do that.
Go for it, Sean.
Yeah, I can do that. All right. So the very basic Manhattan, you're going to need the ingredients that Aaron gave you earlier. So get your American whiskey. Can be a bourbon or a rye, but it must be American.
Ooh.
I don't know if that's true. That's what I'm saying. And then you're going to need a sweet vermouth that is not Martini and Rossi brand. Okay. So... So what you're going to do, get 1 ounce of the sweet vermouth and pour it into some sort of mixer. Also, I should say at this point, you need a glass, whether it's a rocks glass or Cooper or a Nick and Nora, put some ice in there and get that glass chilling. All right. So back to your mixer. You've got your sweet vermouth. Do 2 to 3 dashes of Angostura bitters. And I would say do 1 dash of orange bitters. Then get yourself 2 ounces of the whiskey of your choice and pour that in. Take the ice out of your chilling glass and dump it in there into the container and give your 10 to 20 stirs. Stir it up real good. I'm getting good with the mixing spoon.
Yeah?
Yeah, like, you know how they, like, flip it around their finger and it goes around the outer edge of the glass really easily? Getting good at doing that.
Like stirring?
Thank you, Aaron, because I thought he was talking about stirring too, but it sounded weird the way he said it.
Talking about practice? Stir it up real good and then strain it into your glass. And then here you could have garnished with a Luxardo cherry. And if you're really fancy, you can put a skewer through your cherry and pour the Manhattan over it. Anyway, you want to garnish with the cherry. We use Luxardo with the High Dads. Get yourself an orange and make a peel. And then express that orange peel over the Manhattan, over your glass. Rub it around the rim. I've been experimenting with the garnishes and just kind of like sliding it on the glass. But honestly, right now, I've just got that orange peel dumped straight into my Nicanora. Sticking up like a shark fin.
I used to do that. I used to do the orange and the cherry. I think I've been getting lazy lately with just the cherry on there, but the orange adds a nice touch.
Gotta express those orange oils, I think.
So I've seen recipes where they expressed orange as well as lemon, but it was always express and discard.
I think traditionally it's cherry, but it's definitely pretty common to do with the orange, I think.
And discard it. The last few nights I've been slicing my orange peel and putting a little slit in it and like sliding it around the rim of the glass all pretty like. But I just didn't feel like doing that. I didn't feel like it. And I wanted that orange pop smell. Like when it's on the edge of the rim, you take the sip and like your nose kind of gets in that orange peel a little bit. And I think it takes away
from the rim.
I think it takes away from how pungent the Manhattan smell can be. Since it's, you know, just too there.
It's a pungent rim.
Nope. Not doing it. Well, let's make one of those real quick, and we'll sip on these, and we'll be right back.
Aaron, bring us back.
Is Aaron ready?
Oh, man, here we go. Oh, man, we're gonna count it down. Oh, buddy. 3, 2, 1, we're the High Dad.
I'm sorry. I was trying so hard not to laugh for that and not interrupt because you were in a groove, bud.
Yeah.
Aaron was in the zone.
Damn it.
I was just vibing.
Yeah.
Had a chill day.
Why did you bring us back though when you still had to do the noisiest part of your cocktail?
Well, that's not me, my man. The noisy part of mine is still ahead of me.
I'm stirring.
You know what the people need to know? Cocktails are noisy, all right?
It's
part of life. Get used to it, Buster.
Yeah, you can't make a cocktail without stirring some ice.
Can't make a cocktail without stirring a little ice.
All right, don't show off.
All right. Yeah, no need to celebrate.
Now you're just spinning the spoon around the rim of the glass. Jeez.
So we've had fun with that first original Manhattan. Sean mentioned that he's using American whiskey, and that is pretty common to use American whiskey, but during the Prohibition era, it was pretty normal to use Canadian whiskey because the Americans weren't making a lot of whiskey, legally speaking, during the 20s, you know, 100 years ago. But you know, traditionally, it was with rye whiskey because New York had a lot of rye.
Let me break in here real quick, because I think when we say, and I'm guilty of this, when we talk about Canadian whiskey, we think Crown Royal, right?
I do immediately, yeah.
You do, of you course. Do. But 100%. Really, Canadian whiskey is very rye heavy. Like, that's like the main. Right? Yeah, so, and now that I think about it, it makes a little sense because of that. So I got some Canadian whiskey not too long ago. I forget the brand. And, you know, equivalent is a $50 bottle of Canadian whiskey from...
Nobody likes a bragger.
Bought it in Canada. I'm just trying to give you, like, the scale. And it tasted much better than Crown. Like, it tasted nothing like Sugar Crown, you know?
See, that's what I think. When I think of Crown, I think of sweet. And I don't think of anything spicy like I think of rye.
Right.
It's like, I need to try a better one. Crown's really like the Jack Daniels of Canadian whiskey. If I'm giving you
yeah,
man, my,
you know, it's like nice Canadian
whiskey. Never allowed to listen to this episode. Which, you know what? Nothing wrong with Jack Daniels.
In Canada, they might be like, that Jack Daniels is the top of the line American whiskey.
Ah, because of brand recognition.
Right.
Yeah. I think people do look at it and they think that's American whiskey, but there's a lot of Americans that are like, nah. We're not drinking.
I'm going to tell y'all a quick in-law story, if you don't mind.
Oh, please.
I never mind that.
It's nothing crazy, but I think you guys probably know it, but for the listeners, my father-in-law, very sweetly, every single year for Christmas, like clockwork, you know, he'll get me some trinkets, some summer handy, you know, like little, you know, a guy stocking stuffers, flashlights, the sort, you know, always comes in handy, little screwdrivers. And then every single time, it's also a gift card to Amazon, which I do appreciate.
Nice.
And a bottle of Crown, which also I appreciate. Although I do hate Crown Royal. I've never actually told him that. And also, to be fair, it's like sentimental to him. It's sentimental to him. His dad always did it for all of his sons. So now, you know, my father-in-law does it for all his sons, and he gets me a bottle. He considers me a son. So I mean, it's nice.
You're a son.
But what it results in is a entire cabinet full of boxes of Crown Royal.
But you just have to hide away.
Well, no, I break one out every time he's over, my man. It's like, oh, because, you know, I got to save one for him. I give him away for housewarming gifts and stuff like that, too. But I save a bottle because anytime he's over, of course, that's what he's going to want to drink. Now that I know you can put it in a Manhattan, I'm going to try that and hope this.
I would be interested in trying it.
A good use.
In a Manhattan.
You know what?
A cocktail spruces up a bad liquor anyways, right? So, I mean, it might work.
I would try the Crown in a perfect Manhattan since it's already
good point because of the dryness.
Yeah.
So speaking of that, there's a couple of different ways to make a Manhattan. The traditional way, if you just walked into a bar and said, I'd like a Manhattan, what most bartenders would make you would be a sweet Manhattan, meaning a Manhattan made with, you know, bourbon or rye and sweet vermouth, bitters, and most likely a cherry. That would be a standard Manhattan or a sweet Manhattan. The alternative of that, the other side of that spectrum, is a dry Manhattan, which is going to be made with dry vermouth instead of sweet vermouth. So in between those two, there is the perfect Manhattan, which is 2 ounces of bourbon or rye, half an ounce of dry vermouth, half an ounce of sweet vermouth. And that's what I've just made. And when you say sweet vermouth, it's still very much, this is a booze forward drink. It's still a cocktail.
Oh, yeah. The name is very presumptuous.
Yeah. If you say a sweet
rouge,
Manhattan, I think people are thinking like dessert, but yeah, it's nothing sugary in the sweetness. It's just coming from the sweet vermouth.
A lot of balls calling yourself the perfect Manhattan. Does it live up to the name in your opinion?
It's quite good. It really is. And I like the driver.
That doesn't sound perfect to me. It's not the quite good Manhattan.
I'll tell you what the perfect Manhattan is. I got this down right here, right now.
Oh, you
gonna jump into it right there? Do it.
Go for it. Tell us, buddy.
Perfect Manhattan. Actually, that's not the name of it, but my.
Because that's exactly what I just said.
Manhattan. Yeah, bud, we already made that. This is supposed to be better.
Perfect. It's so subjective. I like to sub in for Angostura some Peychaud's bitters, right?
Oh.
Build it from a Peychaud's base and then still keep the dash of orange bitters, still keep the red vermouth, sweet vermouth, you know, keep the rye. I like to have my glass chilling, my coupe chilling, and then I mix all of the stuff up, all the ingredients I just described with a big rock. I like less dilution. I use a big rock to mix. Anyways, it doesn't matter. Then once you pour your ice out of your coupe, I spritz that bad boy down with the Herb Saint spritzer. Kind of like Sazerac style, and then everything else is the same except for, you know, no Angostura. Which honestly, what I meant to do, and that's what I'm drinking right now. So I had that recipe written down in my journal, and I keep going back to it. Like there was a
whatever. I guess I'm not as smart as you are.
There was a point where I was drinking that, like that was my favorite go-to, and I just couldn't get away from it. Probably early COVID years, I was into it, and I dubbed it the Nola Hattie. Nola Hatton. Because it's
Nola
like
Hattie.
The Peychaud.
Now, is that the official name of it? Like, is this a recipe someone can make up online?
Make it up. I think I made it up because I accidentally used Peychaud bitters one time instead of Angostura, and I was just like, well, I'm going to go with it. And then I added the Herb Saint, and when I drank it, it was like heaven in a glass. So I just kept doing it.
So, Aaron, I haven't made one of those recently, but you told me about that recipe a few weeks ago, and I made one, and it is so good. I like it a lot better than a regular Manhattan. I really do.
I like them both, but this one is.
And really I like the regular Manhattan. It's a great drink, mm-hmm. but the Nola Hattie that you created is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's pretty really good, I think, too.
Congratulations, bud. I think it's going to take you. Off.
Well, Aaron, seriously, I mean, from my extensive research I just did, meaning I Googled Nola Hattie and Nola Hattie, I got nothing. So
oh,
that
shit.
Might be.
Bar the inventor.
That might be nice. A unique drink of
that's
yours.
What I'm talking about. I'm well sure done. Someone's done it before. They probably just haven't named it. But yeah,
it really is
good.
Look, it's in media now. It's
podcast for the new print media. So this is
sure,
public
this is canon.
That's
canon
right.
For sure.
People 100 years from now, like, yeah, we found some ancient podcast they called it. And that's the first mention of the Nola Hat.
Aaron.
They must not have had telepathic TV
from
straight to your brain.
Yeah.
Hi, Dad Aaron, they called him. What do you think they meant?
One thing I got to know is, what were COVID years? Is that like Prohibition?
They'll be like, oh, that was 2022? That's before COVID even got bad.
Oh, God. Oh, man, COVID years, they didn't even know about XLAR, the destroyer.
That's back when they still called it COVID. Yeesh.
Oh, I bet that was COVID-19. Oh, God.
Before that's they had the decimals.
That's back when they were smoking that OG COVID.
Uh-huh. They still use numbers in the double digits.
Oh, well, that's actually really terrifying.
Oh, yeah. Way to bring us down a notch. Listeners, stay tuned. We're going to prove Bigfoot's real right after this.
So I've been experimenting with some a few variations all week for this Manhattan. I did the traditional with both rye and bourbon. I think I liked it with rye a little bit better. I did the perfect Manhattan. Okay, the perfect Manhattan, I felt like got better. I had a break. I drank it about halfway and there was about 20 minutes where it sat there.
Yeah.
I came back to it.
Opened up.
It was better. It was better. Yeah.
It's got layers to it. It's got.
It did. You know, I think as it warmed up, it got those layers. They came out more.
Yeah. I want to start with that one day and try it. I'll try it a second time, but I need to start with it, I think. And not.
That was my first one today.
Is your palate dulled, Aaron?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's like if I have the Manhattan already and then I go for perfect Manhattan, it just didn't work for me, but
I got you.
I'll try it again. My driver move might have just been old also, because I don't use it quite that much. So
yeah,
probably, it's in the fridge. But
and as we've mentioned it before, you've got to refrigerate your vermouth. Any vermouth needs to be refrigerated.
And even it's then, true. It only lasts, what, 3 months?
Oh, I think only like a month. Maybe some people say like 6 to 8 weeks, maybe a month. Oh, but I'll stretch mine.
I think they're throwing out.
I'll stretch mine to 8 weeks for sure, though.
Well, how long ago did we start this thing? Because that's how old my dry vermouth is.
2 years ago, actually, we started.
Oh, my gosh.
At least a year and a half.
So, but Aaron, when you drink the perfect one, I think let it sit, like take a few sips and let it sit. Try to let it get a little room temp. You know how sometimes a stout tastes better when it's not ice cold?
So, but dry vermouth to me is way better cold. I think that's the dynamic, because I do like regular Manhattan. I don't mind letting them warm up, but then like it was a dichotomy to me. Like the dry, it made me think martini, and then it made me think Manhattan. I don't know. Like whichever way I tilted my head, it was like a different drink. It does have layers in, you know, in that. But I'm gonna go for it again. I'll try it again. I need some fresher dry vermouth anyways.
Sean, what'd you riff on?
So I riffed on starting with the base of the original Manhattan, okay? And I thought that with how whiskey forward this was, it would lend well to like an herby aspect.
Okay.
So last night I tried it with rosemary. I wouldn't recommend rosemary.
Okay.
But tonight,
why not?
I went and got some fresh thyme out of my garden.
Why not rosemary?
It just didn't come together like I thought. I can't explain specifically, but it didn't
overpower
right.
The rosemary?
No, it just didn't mix well. Maybe it didn't mix mesh. Well with the vermouth. I don't know.
I gotcha. Okay. Yeah,
it was off. I mean, I still drank it all. It was great, but it just wasn't good.
Ooh, was it great?
It was great. It was great. It just wasn't good.
Wasn't perfect.
That makes no sense.
I wouldn't brag about it. Like, I wouldn't tell someone, oh, you don't like a Manhattan? Well, have you tried it with rosemary?
Then you'll hate it.
Yeah. It wasn't an improvement, so why worry about it?
Understood. Fair all right, enough. So thyme?
So I got thyme. And what I did is I put a few sprigs of thyme in my mixer. And then I did 2 dashes of Angostura and a dash of orange bitters. And I just gave it a soft muddle, not a hard muddle, just a little soft, just to kind of get those thyme oils out in there. Yeah, just a little nudge, just the tip.
Slap and tickle.
And then I added my ounce of sweet vermouth. My 2 ounces of rye whiskey, some ice out of my glass, and stirred it up, poured it in my Nicanora, got an orange peel, expressed it, and I had a spare sprig of thyme, and I torched it with my little blowtorch. And that was just a garnish. So I laid that over top of the glass, and it was really good. I like it better than a regular Manhattan. Aaron, I don't like it better than the Nola Hattie. I think you still win on the Nola Hattie. But I like it better than a Manhattan to get a little bit of that thyme flavor in there.
Interesting.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I'll be honest. I just think Sean doesn't like a Manhattan. It sounds like he just does not.
It sounds that way.
A Manhattan.
Sounds like he don't want
it. He's trying to switch it to bourbon. He's trying to like do all the variations. Like,
this is what's
Manhattan.
What?
I'm no Samantha.
I had to do the research, man.
He did his due diligence. So as far as vermouths go, I just finished a bottle of the Gallo sweet vermouth, and ooh. I'm getting really low on my Antica formula, the Carpano. So that's why I've been using the Gallo when I was researching this week. But man, I have to say it again, the Antica formula, it is a superb vermouth. It's one of the best sweet vermouths. I mean, it's like, what is it, $6-7 for Martini and Rossi? It's like $8 or $9 for the Gallo. It might be like, I mean, for a big bottle of Antica formula, like $30-$40. But it's good though. I've got a bottle of the Dolan. I haven't opened yet.
Out of the variations you've tried, you haven't tried Nola Hattie yet, have you?
I haven't yet.
Ah, All right. Well, I was going to ask what your favorite is, but
yeah. So far, my favorite is the Perfect Manhattan.
Really, you like it? Yep. Is it because it's not as sweet?
I like it because it's not as sweet, and the dry vermouth gives it that extra like body, and I don't know, man. It drank different.
I just didn't like the taste as much as a regular Manhattan.
I don't know if you'll like the Nola Hattie then, because it kind of curbs some of the rye edge off, I think, a little bit too.
No, the Nola Hattie gets some depth, man.
It is deep for sure. It's got a lot of different angles.
I will say, you know, with the two vermouths and the Perfect Manhattan. Can you do that again?
Oh, the alcohol vapors. I got the vapors.
You slurped it. We've had a Perfect Manhattan. We've had Aaron's original Nola Hattie. We've had Sean's Riff, which was a Manhattan with smoked thyme. And I think we're going to enjoy those for a moment. I'm actually going to gather some ingredients to make a Nola Hattie. These guys.
Oh, good idea.
So I'm going to make one of those. And you guys fill up your drinks, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, I've got to mix another.
Yeah, we'll be back in just a moment.
Well, let me tell you about this.
And we're back.
Aaron, you are the king of transitions.
He's perfect. Even though we have transitions in here with our awesome production value, we've got Aaron bringing us in.
Is pretty good.
So we, as we just left off on, we've done a Perfect Manhattan. We've done a unique creation, the Nola Hattan. We've done Sean's Manhattan with thyme. Aaron is just about to walk me through, because he's convinced me to try a Nola Hattie or a Nola Hattan. What do you want to call it, Aaron?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm going to keep to what I wrote down, and it was the Nola Hattan. But we shorthand it to Nola Hattie just because we're
really cool. The official name is the Nola Hattan. So walk me through it. I'm ready for it, baby.
All right, here's what we're going to do, bud. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
You got ice in your coupe?
Yep. Nope. Yep.
Well, which is it?
I always skip that step because I think it's superfluous and I don't like a chilled glass.
Well, put some ice in your coupe, buddy. I'm your boss right now. You're gonna listen, Cade. Your quarterly goals are coming up. And
wait,
I gotta tell
you. Hold on, Aaron. Hold on a second, Cade. You're scooping ice into your cup. Can you do it louder?
That's not me.
That's you, Aaron.
Aaron is talking over his own ice.
Well, do it a little louder, though.
I'm certainly not skipping the most important step of the whole night.
Wow. Why?
He was even like, he goes, hey, guys, okay, let's start recording back right now. All right, Kate, here's what you're going to do.
The people need to know. It's a noisy process. All right, pay show spitters.
All right, there's ice in my coupe glass, Aaron.
Sheesh. That's got to go make ice. All right. Get some Peychaud's in your mixing cup, about 3-4 dashes.
Got it.
About 1 dash of orange bitters.
Got it.
All right. I do 3/4 of an ounce of rouge vermouge.
Red vermouth?
Yes, he means vermouth.
Then I'm going to go 1.5 to 2 ounces, probably about 2 ounces of rye whiskey.
Yeah. Oh. Oh. Rye. Why rye?
We're using Chazirac rye. Oh. Why do I prefer rye? I was always had rye in Manhattan. I don't know why. I've got a really bad bourbon right now. It's probably part of it.
You like the spice of the rye? Is that it?
I do. And the Peychaud's like... You need something that'll stand, but Peychaud's is a strong flavor.
I think for the Nola Hattie, it's not a, do you want to use bourbon or rye? Like, it's got to be rye.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, I think. So that's the liquids done. I've got my ice prepped in my coupe here. I'm actually going to garnish with, I'm going to do a Sean improvement. I'm going to garnish with a little lemon slice and the Luxardo. All right.
Lemon slice or just the peel?
I'm sorry, just the peel. Just a little bit of peel.
Okay.
All right,
All right, so I'm mixing with a big ice cube. Get this liquid cold here in my mixing glass.
This is a fragrant lemon.
Ooh, Paige, you got a good lemon?
I do.
Your lemon wasn't a lemon?
I was worried about this lemon, but it's producing.
Mm-hmm. I boiled crawfish over the weekend, and I had some lemons that were like, the peel was super thick and hardly got me any juice.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah, those.
Yeah, I was so upset because they were these giant lemons, and I thought, man, these crawfish are going to get some great flavor. And then I would say 30% of my lemons were light on juice.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So once you dump that ice out of your coop, you're going to want to spritz that guy with our atomizer full of herb sink, or what's the word, Sean? Anisette. We're gonna want to spritz that glass with the Anisette real quick. I do two spritzes into my coop, and then I get a cherry on a skewer, which I didn't have prepared. Shoot, let me get my sword.
Wait, you do a cherry in the Nola Hattie?
Yes, man. Originally, it was a bourbon cherry that I had homemade.
It's still a Manhattan, Sean.
Now I do a Luxardo.
Yeah, that makes sense. I guess without the cherry, you're right. I would just be making a Sazerac. With vermouth in it, so
yeah. You know what I think I'm gonna do? I think I'm gonna just spritz the lemon over the glass, get all the oils in there, and then I'm not gonna drop the lemon peel in. I don't think
I'm gonna point my spritzer at the glass.
Pro.
Oh yeah.
Pro move.
Yeah. Pro move. Yeah. So it's not straight in my face again.
Not into your face for sure.
Been there, done
that. I can really smell those lemons. It smells real nice.
So both of y'all got really good lemons today.
Yeah.
Smells real good up in here now.
Well, you know, when life gives you lemons,
make a bunch of cocktails with it.
You gotta make cocktails. Mm,
that's really nice with lemon.
All right, this is gonna be my first sip of a Nola Hattie, an Aaron original.
Brace yourself, because it's good.
Holy cow, Aaron, that's great.
All the variations I've tried, I'm never making a regular Manhattan if I can avoid it. I'm making a Nola Hattie.
Yeah, man.
That is a good drink. Pretty awesome, man. That's a great Manhattan.
You know what? Rename the episode. It's the Nola Hattie episode.
Yeah. So, Aaron, as great as it is, you know what I want to do? I want to merge it with mine.
And he wants to make a perfect Nola Hattie. If you name it the perfect, I will use.
I want to riff on your immediate creation and make that. So
he's gonna. I'm gonna try right that. Now, I bet.
I'm gonna try. Oh, you're right. I'm doing it. I'm going
make it
there.
Side by side. Do a side by.
You know what? You know what, Sean? I bet I would like dry vermouth in there with the lemon. Like, cause the lemon I think brings it back together with a martini for me. And I bet that is gonna be delicious.
Dang, a perfect Nola Hattie. That's the next thing I got to try.
I'm having one of those tomorrow. I can't be having that tonight, but I'm going to have one of those tomorrow.
Why not tonight?
I'm stirring it in. Man,
this is my third drink.
Right in the glass.
Come on, Saturday. You've had a good Friday?
Yeah, yeah. I'm on vacation.
All right, I'm trying vacation, it now, man. The second time.
You're on vacation and you're worried about having more than three cocktails? That's not a vacation, my man.
Guys, that's great.
I just started. Yeah,
that is great. A perfect Nola Hattie. I'm not saying it's superior to a Nola Hattie. I think they're both. I'm serious. I think they're both good in their own regards. Like the Nola Hattie is more bold and like
I guess
stand
I like
out.
Yeah.
The perfect Nola Hattie. I think the dry vermouth it mutes it a little bit, but it also makes it more. I don't know. I don't have all the words. Subdued. It's great.
Do you think it makes it more of a summer Manhattan as opposed to the Nola Hattie would be a winter Manhattan?
No. I think
vermouth to me, I associate it with warmer weather. So like that guy, like during the daytime, I'll have stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like in the afternoon or something.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I think it's just in my head, but.
Oh,
what an amazing drink. That is so good. I'm loving it. I loved it the first sip I had. I loved it when I added the dry vermouth as well. It's awesome.
And Cade, can I say the sounds of you stirring that drink were very rhythmic. I think you're settling in to the home bartender physique or whatever.
What on earth are you talking about?
Aaron, man? This guy does not know what stirring is. I'm serious.
Or physique.
Your stirring muscles. You've got that je ne sais quoi. I don't know, man. Rhythmic.
Oh, get a room. Hey, you guys remember when we went to that cabin and all we did?
Oh, wait, that's a weird transition.
That's a weird transition.
Let me break in here. Look. That was a fun weekend.
Yeah,
and
we
all signed an NDA.
Yeah, there was an NDA, Aaron.
Well, I gotta tell you,
bleep
for the record,
cabin in the woods.
Only so,
and you had an NDA.
That's awesome.
Man,
I love it.
But that was a fun weekend, though. I'm just saying,
we should do it again. In three weeks,
we should gamble this time.
Yeah,
I'm up for it.
Teaser, let's a quick teaser for our next episode. We might have a special guest come in, and we might not have the same format. It might just be kind of like a party style.
You think we might have more than one?
Yeah,
Enough. It's gonna be it's gonna be a potluck. We're gonna have a potluck episode to mark the midway
Ooh.
Point of the season.
I'm excited for it. And we're going to be on location. We'll all be in the same room.
In
it will be. We might have to get some video for that.
Oh.
All in threes.
I could bring my Lego guys and they could set up the old GoPro and our producers.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I don't know why that needs to happen, but sure.
I'm just saying. They helped me make that drink one time. Old Bob the Builder.
So, Aaron, were you going to tell us about Bigfoot eventually?
Yeah. You keep teasing this Bigfoot story, and I'm so curious.
Apparently, Bigfoot's in Mobile. What I got to tell you is my mom posted on Facebook.
I like where this is going.
That there was a Bigfoot sighting.
Yes.
At Big Creek Lake, which is like the reservoir north of Mobile.
Where at in Mobile?
Is he in Crichton?
Is he with the leprechaun?
Technically, it's not Mobile. It's Big Creek Lake, which I forget what the name of that like municipality is, but it's north of Mobile. But it's
that's
like,
where Crichton
one of the
is.
Reservoirs. Yeah, but it's something else. It's not
Dude,
Crichton.
What is going on up there in that part of Mobile County? They got leprechauns and Bigfoot?
That's pretty
amazing.
Pretty
much a portal to another dimension.
I'm
pretty sure.
It sounds like a magical place.
We're going to have unicorns.
The Mobile River Delta has some magical properties.
Can I tell you guys what it is? They do a lot of meth up there.
Sounds like some good meth.
It's definitely a Breaking Bad situation. All right. And she posted that on Facebook, and there are pictures, you guys.
Did she text you to be careful?
No. But like she and like one of her guilty pleasures is like the Bigfoot tracker show, whatever that is, or whatever. And so like she watches these guys track Bigfoot. And anyways, they went to hunt the Bigfoot down, and we found him. He's in Alabama. We gotta go hunt down the Bigfoot. So they're gonna go track the Bigfoot at Big Creek Lake. Anyways, they posted it on whoever it was posted it on Facebook like it was a serious thing or whatever. Oh yeah, we called the police and some of these pictures. They're working on verifying the pictures right now. Don't you worry. I know.
She might not have hit send yet, but she has a text message for you right now that's like, I know Bigfoot's not real, but watch this, and it'll make you think. And just be careful. That's all.
But
I'm saying.
It makes you think.
Makes you think. Just look out. Okay, just in case.
I guarantee you she has a text prepped, but it's going to say, like, you didn't respond because I tagged you in this post on Facebook and you didn't respond to it or like it at all. But listen, I saw the pictures, and a lot of them, it looks like a tree stump, but then there's some of them that it looks like a guy in a gorilla suit.
I'm convinced. Can you draw a sketch?
I felt like I made the Bigfoot story more entertaining in my head before we started, but by the end of it, it was just, man, Somebody saw Bigfoot.
Did you hear the Bigfoot story?
What? I just told it.
The story.
That was the whole thing, man. She just posted about Bigfoot. It's not a good story. It requires pictures. And this is a podcast, so got to know my audience.
Very heavily relies on the props there, Aaron. We've had some hit and misses on our Instagram post. Aaron did post just a picture
I should post really Bigfoot pictures.
You posted some pictures of some really shitty pasta, Aaron.
And, what were you thinking? That was disgusting.
I'm not on the social side. Sean and Aaron handle the social media side. I do the production.
Are you embarrassed by my midnight pasta snack?
I am terribly embarrassed.
Yeah, there were sun-dried tomatoes in that.
You know what embarrassed me about it, though, Aaron? It's not so much that you did it, but you messaged it to all of our followers.
You DM'd it to people, Aaron.
You DM'd people, and you're like, look at this shitty pasta.
I don't even know what that means. I don't really understand how Instagram works. And I'm going to admit that to you right now.
Live on the podcast.
I looked at the picture. It looked like chicken a la king that I had in public school coming up.
But have you ever had it after like four cocktails?
And you put little jazzy zing zangs around it. It was really, again, like production-wise, it was beautiful. But it was still an absolute crap post. And I think we immediately lost like 40 followers.
Oh, I don't even care. Those followers don't understand how good.
Aaron, 40 followers is 40% of our fan base.
Can I tell
at
you?
This point, we can't afford can tell to you hemorrhage like that.
Can I tell you? You guys are going to love this part. It wasn't even heated up. That was cold pasta out the fridge.
Sean, if you can revoke his Instagram privileges, no that chance. Would be great.
I'm definitely not going to change the password right after this. Definitely not going to do that. You know, really, honestly, I'm not going to do that because Aaron's reels get more views than anything we post. I don't know what he does.
I don't know what any of that means, but
that's a video. Whenever Aaron posts a video, we get thousands of viewers on it. I don't know what he's doing.
Doesn't make much sense. I agree.
It doesn't make sense to me.
You know,
I only look at them when you guys text message them to me.
I spent like 2 hours suspending a toy helicopter from my roof.
I really liked that one.
And creating like a little donut harness to garnish my maple old fashioned. And I spent all this time on it, making it.
And you texted it to me and I watched it.
And it did okay. And all Aaron comes
you're
on.
Right. It's the
like
fifth best one.
Filter. And some shitty pasta, and that gets like 2,000 views, and I only got like 100.
But Aaron, he DM'd it to people. They had to watch it.
The pasta did not do well. I'm going to level with you.
Yeah, the pasta didn't do great.
The buddy who made Anthony Childress that did our theme music, text back, put it in my mouth. So that's positive reinforcement right there.
He knows. I knew I loved Anthony because he knows the value of a good snack.
Anthony is amazing. Straight up. He is amazing. He's one of my favorite humans.
Speaking of Instagram, like and follow at HIII underscore DADZ on Instagram. No big deal. Guys, what we're going to do is I want to ask you guys a question that is not scripted at all.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord.
And it has nothing to do with Bigfoot. What should we do next time? We might have had our weeks crossed. We have already kind of advertised that we're going to do an in-location shoot next time, but I think that might be a little bit too far off. We might need to do an episode between now and then.
What about Jim?
What should we do? anybody? Any suggestions at all?
Aaron, I think we just got a call in from Omaha, Nebraska. Her name is Jane, and she's from Tornado Alley. Let's go live to Jane right now.
Jane, yes. What would you suggest?
Yeah, go ahead, Jane.
Jane,
hey, can you guys do a gin and tonic episode? That'd be great for me.
Not anymore.
Jane, how old are you?
You sound 90.
How old are you, Jane?
I was born in Prohibition, but I loved a gin and tonic, and I think it'd be a good episode.
This all bitch. Right. Ate cereal out of the dust bowl.
It is so clear we're going to do the gin and tonic. I have no choice in the matter. All right. I love gin and tonics.
The gin and tonic is delicious. I'm all for that. That sounds like a great idea, Jane. Thank you.
So, guys, spring is in the air. Today in spring Tennessee, is in at the least, air. It was
a good
with a
Friday.
High of 75. Beautiful day, and it seriously, I think gin and tonic is a great place to go.
So I gotta get this baby.
So guys, thanks for listening to the Manhattan episode. Hope you guys learned something. Again, Manhattan, it's a very versatile, very ubiquitous. You can find it at any bar, but don't feel afraid to take a riff on it. Please ask a bartender to try the Nola Hattie or the Nola Hatton.
Yeah, teach them something. Teach them something
about a new creation. I bet they'd love that. And yeah. Bye, dads.
Bye, dads. I love you, Aaron. I love you, Cade.
We love you, Sean.
Love you, buddy.
Later.
Good night, buddies. Bye-bye.